Welcome to the Inspiration 316 show hosted by John Beener, founder of Wise Counsel. John shares the inspiring and shocking miracles of how Jesus Christ is changing lives, families, organizations, and nations in this chaotic world. These are the true stories the media won't cover because they defy the shocking bad news they are selling. Stay tuned to be inspired.
Well, good day. It's John Beener. Thanks for joining us. Hey, we got another great show here today. I get inspired by these stories, testimonies of people. We're talking about the life-changing business of Jesus Christ involved in everybody's life, even if they don't know him. Can you believe that? Can he be that loving, that much around us? You know, we all have a body, soul, and spirit. If you don't connect your spirit to God's spirit, you're never going to understand what goes on in the real world, because God is a spirit. He created us, created this whole world, each of us individually, and a purpose and a plan, but he gave us free will through Adam and Eve, and then we could go ahead and live on our own the best we could in a life full of trouble and one that the enemy tries to dominate. God is in the business, though, of turning around lives and bringing them to know him through his word, because the word is life. The word is Christ. Christ died on the cross for you and me and all of us. Okay, that was a long teaching testimony. Wasn't a testimony. It was kind of a teaching of some sort. It just came out of me. But today's theme is all about actor testimonies. People who are in the movie industry, who've become famous in one form or fashion, and I'm pretty fascinated by a story that I first found of a guy named Stephen Baldwin. His brother Alec is more noted for his movies and TV roles and even Saturday Night Live. But Stephen has done a number of TV shows as well as movies. And you'd recognize him if you saw him. But I was pretty fascinated. I'd heard that he was a committed Christian, but never knew the depth of it till I started researching. But then we've also got story by Kevin Sorbo, who was Hercules in the TV show for many years. He also was lead actor in God Is Not Dead movie. Sylvester Stallone, you've heard of him with Rocky, four or five different episodes of Rocky, all kinds of other things that he played in movies. Denzel Washington has won 3 Oscar awards. Incredible sharing of testimony on stage with other actors. And then Cheryl Ladd became famous through Charlie's Angels, a TV show many years ago that was hot for like 12 years. And then she starred in a movie not long ago, The Perfect Wave, that Brian Hitchcock produced, and all about a man from New Zealand that traveled the world to try to find the perfect wave. And she played the mother role. Incredible miracle story of his life as well. But let's get started here. Let's get started with Stephen Baldwin, his testimony. Is the one connected we meet to him is that his wife is from Brazil, and they had brought in this lady that actually became sort of like a nanny for them, a housekeeper and all. And yes, my wife and I were in Brazil for 2 years with the Peace Corps when we first got married, and so we learned a lot of things in that country, and still have fond memories of that. But this is part of what connected me to his testimony. So listen in to his story.
Hey everybody, Stephen Baldwin here. Very excited to be talking to you today and sharing with you my own personal testimony about how I came to know Jesus. I was working in the movie business, doing a television show called The Young Riders, living in Tucson, Arizona with my wife and my first daughter. And my wife is from Brazil, and she speaks Portuguese, and she decided to hire a gal to come work and live with us, help around the house, help with the kids, all of that good stuff. And so she reached out to some of her relatives in Brazil, who sent this gal over, 55-year-old, tall, kind of tough Brazilian lady. She didn't speak any English, only spoke Portuguese. So this gal's working for us, and the whole first week that she's working for us, she's singing in Portuguese as she's cleaning, and very, very happy and expressive and having a good old time. But she's always singing a song that utilizes one word in every song. She's going, la, 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 Jesus. Da, 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 Jesus. Oh, well, it was kind of interesting to observe her and the fact that every song she sang was about Jesus. By the way, her name was Augusta. We noticed that she's singing every song about Jesus. So my wife and I kind of say, wow, that's kind of interesting. Finally, after a week of this, my wife kind of goes up to Augusta and she says, so, I noticed that you sing an awful lot about Jesus. And Augusta starts to laugh, like loud, like belly laugh. And my wife is kind of like, you know, okay, what's up? I'm your boss. What's so funny? And Augusta says, you know, Mrs. Baldwin, forgive me. I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I'm just a little charmed with the fact that you're asking me this question. She goes, I just think it's rather interesting that you think that I'm here to clean your house. And my wife said, okay, what do you mean? And Augusta went on to explain to my wife that in her church in Brazil, before she had accepted the job to work with us, she had gone to her church and prayed with her pastor and a bunch of the people in the congregation, and it was prophesied in that church that she had to go take that job because the people that she would go to work for would eventually come to know the Lord and then go on to have their own ministry. Well, my wife then, in turn, came and told me that story. And I guess you guys can only imagine who started laughing then. You know, I was Stephen Baldwin, working on a TV show, making movies, thought I was cool. And then I think probably 7 years to the day after that, we had moved back to New York. Our kids were a little grown up. We had had a second daughter. And my wife gave her life to Jesus Christ. And a year after that, I followed. And it's awesome. And in a million years, I never would have imagined that that would have happened to me. And now for me, really what my faith and my walk with Christ is all about is sharing that with people. You know, it's really important in my opinion, regardless, you know, of who you are or what your position is. You know, it's really kind of cool, and it's nice that people come up to me all the time and they go, hey, dude, you know, you're in Hollywood and you're living for the Lord and, you know, you're being a part of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's so important. And I guess that's, you know, probably true, but, you know, I can't look at it that way myself. You know, for me, you know, I like just sharing with people the experience that I'm having. You know, and the peace that I found, and the happiness that I found. And for me, that's more important than anything else, is to just be able, I was on an airplane today. I'm back in Portland right now, filming these segments, and it was important. I was on an airplane talking to this guy, 35 years old, surfer dude, beautiful wife, young people, and they were saying to me, hey man, what's going on in your life, dude? And I started telling them about Living It, the movie I did, and how it's about skaters and bikers that all know Jesus Christ. And they're like, and it was amazing. The husband says to me, he goes, hey man, that's wild. You know, I've been really spending a lot of time with a lot of these surfers that are born again. He goes, and now you're talking to me about it. He goes, that's kind of weird, huh? And I go, nope, it's not weird at all, dude. It's the way it works. So it's just an awesome experience for me. I think that the thing that holds true the most with me is that I've come to realize through the gratitude that I have, that I know the Lord, I've come to realize that it's a privilege to know the truth. It's a privilege to know the Word of God. It's a privilege to have the Spirit of God living inside of me and for me to have the opportunity to share that with other people. It's a gift. And I love it. I love it every minute of it. So God bless you guys, and thanks very much.
Is that great? What a testimony. Love to share his testimony because God's got a hold of his heart in a deep way. That is so profound, isn't it? Stephen Baldwin, actor, movie star, TV star, brother got lots of money. He's got lots of money. They both raised Catholic, you know, grew up, didn't think much of religion, didn't think much of Christianity. Now they're out sharing, and he shares it in a very practical way. It's not real religious. It's not, oh, Jesus this, Jesus that, which it is in underpinnings, but he's not pronouncing it, you know, in your face kind of thing. You know, pretty neat. God is in the middle of changing lives, folks. We just give it all up to him. He will perform miracles in you, transform you from the inside out. That's what it's all about. God's in the business of loving us, and we're loving him through the process. We just got to be submissive to him, obedient to his calling and purpose. All right, here is an interesting interview with Stephen Baldwin. I thought this was pretty fascinating. This was on Catholic television called Net TV, and this gentleman, I can't remember his name, we've done the interview with him, but we got two segments of this. It's pretty interesting. Listen to the stories and testimony he has here.
My wife gets saved first. She becomes very intense in her commitment to her walk with following Jesus. And in that first year of watching her, that's the thing that really started to slowly work on me was I was already married for 10 years to her. At the time, this is fast forwarding now. After Augusta, we moved back to New York after the birth of my second child. And that's when my wife got saved. There was that plus 9/11 and a sequence of events that kind of just made me have no place else to turn to ask the question, what's going on? Why is all this happening? Why did my wife become born again? Like, God, what are you doing? That led to my making a decision that I was now going to explore and investigate this experience, but in a super hardcore way, because I don't know any other way to do it. So I said, God, I said the prayer of salvation. I was baptized in water. I did all the stuff you're supposed to do. But then I made a covenant. That's a very powerful word if you know what its application means in Christianity. So a covenant is, you know, till death do us part. You know what I mean? I did that with God. I said, basically, if you'll show me you're real, I'll be Kirk Cameron on steroids. I don't care. I don't care what they say. I don't care. If I know it's you, if I know it's real, I'll go anywhere you want, do whatever you want.
Now, you mentioned about he revealed himself. Can you share that with us? How did he reveal himself?
Well, I'll give you an example. I'm Stephen Baldwin. I'm an actor. I'm this, I'm that. I supported President Trump because as a Christian, I believed that was the right thing to do. Cut to Alec Baldwin playing President Trump on SNL. And the opposition that my brother and I have, although we haven't spoken since the election because he's upset. But the very first scripture I read that spoke to me supernaturally was Matthew 10:34, which is in the words of Jesus. It says, do not think I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. What does that mean? The sword is the division between those who will believe in him and follow him the way the Bible says, and those who will believe in him and not do it the way the Bible says. And then it goes on to say in Matthew 10:34, and I will set you against the members of your own household if you choose to love them more than me. That's what the Bible says. And that's a lot of everything that just came out of my mouth. In this world, in the natural world, with regular people, I realize how heavy that is. Mm-hmm. And I say to those people, how weird is it that the first scripture I ever read that like gave me a chill and this and that, it talked about if you love me first, it may cause division in your family. And I haven't spoken to my brother since the election. That was 14 years ago I read that scripture, and God was preparing me then for what's happening now. Does that mean I choose God over my brother? Yes. I choose God over my wife, my kids, because that's what I believe. That's what he's called me and what it says in the Bible, which not everybody, like we were talking earlier, yeah. People pick and choose what they want to believe out of the Bible.
So let me ask you, so 14 years ago when you read that those scriptures, was that enough to sort of, let's use the word convince you?
Nope.
So you doubted.
So then I went to a church a couple of years later. And I'm listening to the pastor like this, and in my head I hear, you see that guy over there? And I look and I see this guy with his wife and three little kids and one older daughter. And I'm like, yeah, thank you, God. I see the guy, but I'm listening to the sermon, so quit bothering me. 45 minutes in my head I hear God going, when the service is done, go tell that stranger over there these words. It's not your fault. For 45 minutes, I go like this. No, I'm not doing that. That's weird. I don't know the guy. He doesn't know me. What are you doing? Why are you doing this? And then the Holy Spirit said to me, remember when you said, if you choose to follow me, you'll go and do whatever I tell you to do when I tell you to do it? Yes, God, I remember when I made that commitment to you. Okay, like I said, go tell that guy it's not your fault. So I go up after the service. I go up to this guy. I said, dude, I don't even know what this means, but it's not your fault. The guy falls to his knees. That day was the 15th anniversary of his first wife's death in an automobile with the 16-year-old daughter that survived. And this was his new wife and three new kids in that church on that day with the surviving 16-year-old daughter on the anniversary of the day his wife died in an automobile accident. Now, brother, if that's coincidence to whomever, God bless you.
I don't believe in coincidence. But there's got to be people out there, right, that sort of are praying for this, for these sort of signs, right? And usually during that period, you're sort of burning the candle at both ends, right? You're like listening to God, but then you're also, you know, doing what you want to do. There must have been a point where you just broke down, right, and said, you know, I need a sign. I mean, did that happen to you at all?
Oh, yeah. The two examples I just gave you are two of 200. I wouldn't say there was one specific earth-shattering thing that I said, oh, this is real. When I said to you that I read that Matthew 10:34, what happened was I'm reading the Bible and I felt a wind from the pages hit me in the face. This thing is real. This experience is whatever you, if it's Catholic, if it's born again, whatever it is, people need to understand you were born so that at some point in your adult life, when you know the difference between good and evil, sinning and choosing not to sin, et cetera, when you have the knowledge of that, this experience is about simply, do you want to connect with God in the way that he intended so that you can live your life the way his will would have you? Everybody's walk and journey is different. I believe I'm called to evangelize in different, unique ways. I did a skateboard ministry for 4 years. I did skate videos. I did all kinds of different stuff. Told my story in my autobiography, which some Christian ministries that have bookstores didn't sell my book. It was too honest about the truths of Hollywood and drugs and alcohol. And now you see in a lot of Christian ministries getting more hardcore because it has to be able to connect with the culture. As long as it stays true to the word, we should be okay. But
that is amazing. Isn't Stephen Baldwin, again, the movie star, actor, again, his brother Alec probably has made more money than he has, but he has come to Christ, incredible testimonies, telling the story of his life. And I mean, I've had experiences like that that he talked about with sharing with a man next to him or near him at the church about a word that God's given. God's done that to me, and I shared to people. I don't know, had the same profound effect as what he did. I had an experience going traveling to Milwaukee when God was calling me to go there for an anniversary of the founding of this organization that I was a part of for 15 years. And anyway, what happens is he puts on my heart on the plane for you to say a prayer at the meeting. And it goes on and on. God unveils. And I said, God, I can't. And we're back and forth. And he convicts me, takes me one step at a time. And finally, we get to the meeting. I had written out a prayer, put it on everybody's placemat because I was too afraid to stand up and say it myself. And I was fighting what the devil was telling me about how you can't do this. You're going to look stupid. You're going to embarrass yourself. So I went through all that experience. But by the time I had a friend there at the table stand up there with me, and we started to say the prayer. We had everybody prayed along with us about thanking God for the creation of this organization, all this. And it was amazing. And I sat down, and I heard the Holy Spirit say to me, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Wow, that just, you know, that just filled me for the rest of my time there. It filled me for a long time to come. Let's get back to Stephen Baldwin and more of his testimony in this interview on Catholic TV. Listen in.
So why do you think God chose you?
I don't think God chose me. I think God knew me before I was born. and knew that in who I am and what he's allowed and what he's done and my success and my talent and all that would all come together in a certain timing so that I could use all of that and the platform to share with people the truth. So I don't feel like he chose me. I just feel like I'm so blessed that in the appropriate timing, I kind of, my heart and my mind was open to receive what God had for me.
Well, he did choose you that day, the day when you were in church. He chose you that day to be sort of the conduit to speak to the gentleman that was going through that such pain.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, there was probably other people in the church at that time, right? You weren't the only one there. And right. For some reason...
Well, and now I understand your question, and I want to answer that question. Why did God, here's how I want to answer that question. It's not so much that I think God chose me. I think it's that God has this heart to want to use people in radical ways, but there's not so many people that are willing to be used. That, like, I could have done what many people in that church would have done that day and said, no, I'm just not going to go tell that guy that, and gone home. But I made a commitment. So that's my point. So for me, this journey is not about getting any credit for it. I got one tattoo on the back of my neck that says 330. It's John 330. So it's John chapter 3, verse 30, which says, I must become less so that God can become more. Humility is the key for me in this whole thing, is that Jesus was humble unto death. And a certain advice I have for anybody who wants to have this experience in a greater way is the more you just try to stay quiet, the more you just try to humble yourself and repeatedly have the thought or prayer, which is your will, not mine. Show, what do you want, not what I want? Because here's the thing. Bible says only Jesus was perfect. You're not perfect. Nobody is. But in the journey of this experience, it's recognizing that that's why I need him. Because he is perfect and he can teach me by his spirit how to be like him and less judgmental, more patient, slower to get angry, more to want to be peaceful and loving, more to want to be a servant.
You're right. We're pretty much a representation of Jesus Christ. But now, you like being in Hollywood, right? So now let's say, you know, you had this whole platform, you were a celebrity. That was all part of God's plan, right? Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to use that platform to evangelize, to spread the word of God. Not many people in Hollywood do that. Right. I've noticed a lot of athletes do that, and I was saying there are a lot of boxers. But why aren't celebrities just... Why are they so concerned about their brand and about the money? When in actuality, it's really about using that platform to inspire the kids and change the world. Why aren't there many people like you out there?
The reason you're going to see no one really emphatically standing up for their own individual faith in the industry, you don't see Tom Cruise going around going, give your life to L. Ron Hubbard. You know, whatever. Sorry, that was a joke. Sorry, Tom, I love you. I'm your biggest fan. Let's work together again real soon so I can lead you to Jesus, brother. Please put that in the interview. The point there simply is, if I look at Mark Wahlberg, if I look at Cruz, if I look at the AAA list guys, even the Australian fella, what's his name? Plays Wolverine.
Oh, Hugh Jackman.
Very outspoken Christian. You know, I believe that maybe it's not Hugh Jackman's calling to go out and tell everybody, be a Christian. That's okay. Maybe Hugh Jackman's calling is be Wolverine and then do these Christian things quietly. Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm much more subscribing to that mentality now, but I know who I am and I know what God's called me to do. And that is when in the appropriate timing, whether it be to Tom Cruise's face or to an interviewer or whoever, when asked, I'm going to speak this thing the way God's calling me to speak it. I think more than anything, the key in my understanding in Hollywood is nobody has the right to believe in something that judges someone else. But Scientology does. Judaism does. All other faiths somewhere in their dogma or their doctrine judge sin or wrongdoing.
That's what Stephen Baldwin says. Incredible testimony again. Come to Christ through his Brazilian wife and also their maid housekeeper. Incredible story again. Here's a guy willing to step out in faith and declare the name of Jesus Christ because he made a commitment to Christ. I will do so. I will proclaim your name. I will share it with others because you are the truth, the way, and the light. He bows down to the Lord and seeks his leading and guidance. And what he's very articulate in how he shares that. I like that. Did a good job. Good examples, good stories. Again, we're talking about actor testimonies. We got more to come here in the second half of the show. We got Kevin Sorbo, who played Hercules. Sylvester Stallone was Rocky. Denzel Washington's won 3 Oscars. Cheryl Ladd, Charlie's Angels, Perfect Wave, other movies, TV shows. We got all that coming back on the second half here. So we're going to have to take a break here in a moment. But again, you're listening to John Beener with Inspiration 316. Thanks for joining us. Here is Carrie Underwood says, Jesus, take the wheel. Be back in a minute.
In the back seat. 50 miles to go and she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both her lives flash before her eyes. She didn't even have time to cry. She was so scared. She threw her hands up in the air.
Look out for a crash in Clay County on busy Blanding Boulevard southbound at Aurora Boulevard. That's blocking the left turn lane. Also an accident on I-95 northbound beyond Emerson Street. Congestion all the way to the Bullhorn Bridge and I-10. And they're clearing up a multi-vehicle accident on the East Beltway 295 southbound, the ramp from UNF and the Town Center. Becoming mostly cloudy tonight, low 68. Wednesday partly sunny, a chance of showers, maybe a thunderstorm, high 91.
She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow-white Christmas Eve. Going home to see her mama and her daddy with the baby in the back seat. 50 miles to go when she was running low on faith and gasoline. It'd been a long, hard year. She had a lot on her mind and she didn't pay attention. She was going away too fast. Before she knew it, she was spinning on a thin black sheet of glass. She saw both.
Welcome back. This is John Beener with Inspiration 316. Today we're talking about actors and their testimony. Hey, we had great stuff there with Stephen Baldwin the first half. Here we got 4 little episodes here. We've got Kevin Sorbo, Hercules, Sylvester Stallone, who's Rocky, Denzel Washington, Cheryl Ladd. Also want to tell you about the Wise Council Boot Camp, September the 6th. We need the top 25 entrepreneurs of faith to be nominated. You can submit a name of someone you know, someone you work for, someone you believe walks their talk. That's what we want to hear and recognize them. September the 6th, just go to John at Inspiration316.com. Let's get right into our story here. Kevin Sorbo played Hercules for many years, very popular TV show. God is Not Dead, been on those movies recently. Listen to some of his testimony and healing that took place in his life.
I'm an actor. I'm not saving people's lives. I just hope I give them some escape from reality for a while and give a good laugh and a good cry.
I recently interviewed Kevin at his home in Southern California and tested his strength in a friendly arm wrestling match. Guess who won?
No.
I thought I'd make it work for it.
3-2-1 and I win.
Ah! I had to make it work for it a little bit. Come on.
Thank you. Kevin Sorbo was raised in Minnesota by parents who taught him Christian values. When he was 13 years old, he went to a Billy Graham crusade and responded to the altar call.
It was a very happy, emotional night for me, and I just always remembered it.
So do you think that that was the moment, that was the day that you said, okay, I'm going to live for you, Jesus?
I guess in a way I felt like that was the day, because it's such a marked day in my life.
Like all boys growing up, Kevin loved playtime.
Were you like a little young Hercules and didn't know
it? I was a young Hercules and I knew it. I remember in the backyard playing and running around and pretending, even by myself, that I was slaying dragons and all this kind of stuff.
In college, Kevin majored in business, but secretly he wanted to be an actor. So he dropped out of the university and started his acting career in Minnesota in the late 80s. Eventually, he moved to Hollywood. After being turned down for the lead in two TV series, he landed the huge breakout role as Hercules, which filmed in New Zealand. His 18-hour-a-day schedule included a grueling workout to keep him in shape. Kevin prided himself in doing most of his own stunts.
I relished it and looked forward to it. I had an amazing stunt team that made me look like I knew what I was doing.
In 1997, while filming a season 3 episode called Prince Hercules, he met leading lady Sam Jenkins.
I can't deny it, I was intensely attracted to him right away.
My very first scene is us outside the castle walls saying goodbye and kissing.
Were you nervous?
I was. I rarely forget my lines, but my first scene with her, I couldn't remember my lines.
Kevin and Jenkins started dating and soon got engaged.
I started thinking about like picket fences and kids, and I was like, seriously, can't believe I'm telling you this, but yeah, I thought, I've known her one day.
He brought up the fact that he was going to have boy, boy, girl when he got married and had kids, and I was like, that's so weird, that's what I'm having.
Kevin was on top of the world. He was engaged to the woman of his dreams. Hercules had become the most watched TV show on the planet. He was promoting his first motion picture, and he was being groomed to become the next action hero. Then his life took a radical turn.
My shoulder was just killing me. I was getting these pains that was driving me nuts. There was numbness in here. These three fingers were getting colder and colder by the week.
Kevin went to the doctor who looked at his shoulder and thought it was just a pinched nerve. When his symptoms didn't clear up, Kevin went to his chiropractor.
He's working on me. I'm on my back. I hear a voice say, don't let him crack your neck.
The chiropractor cracked his neck. When Kevin left the office, everything went haywire.
I feel two very loud pops in the back of my head. I feel it. I feel like fingers jabbing in there. I feel this in my visions all over the place.
You said in your book, which I loved
oh,
the way
you.
That you write, by the way, that it was as if an 8.9 earthquake had struck your head.
Oh, yeah.
And you were feeling the aftershocks of
it. Oh, it was unbelievable. The buzzing, the vibration, the humming that was going on. I just looked up at the sky and I said, I'm going to die today.
Over the course of a couple of days, Kevin's condition grew worse. His eyesight began to fail, his balance was gone, and his speech was slurred. When he went to the hospital, doctors admitted him into ICU, where they ran tests and found an aneurysm in his left arm.
The lump was an aneurysm. My left subclavicle had opened up, and now thousands of clots were in my arm, and it was just, they thought they might have to amputate.
In addition, Kevin had suffered 3 strokes. The invincible Hercules was now incapacitated. He had a talk with God.
I just broke down. I cried. I felt like there was a death in the family. I felt like somebody had died, and it was me.
What did you ask him to do for you that day?
Help me to find the acceptance in this. If this is the best I'm going to be, then help me fight through this every day, because it was tough.
You're going through all of these health challenges. You met your wife when you're at the peak of your career.
Mm-hmm.
Were you kind of scared that she was going to bail out on you and say, perhaps, no, I didn't sign up for all of this?
I was scared. I was scared for my future, my career, my life. Am I going to be able to have kids? I mean, I was scared for a lot of different reasons. And we're 4 months away from saying for better or worse, and she gets worse before she even gets to say those lines.
I wasn't scared. I did not think that this was going to change our lives. I had, for some reason, a great deal of faith.
Kevin started rehabilitation to learn how to walk again. As his speech and vision got better, he thought the best thing for him to do was to keep filming.
As he healed, the healing brought him more faith.
After its 6th season, the Hercules series ended. Although Kevin still had a 10% loss of vision in both eyes, he continued acting in movies and hit television series.
I've done 40 movies since then as well, so I'm shooting one now, I got another one after this, and so knock on wood, thank God I'm still working.
No, man, but he's still got some guns.
Kevin and Sam married, and by the way, they had two boys and a girl in that order, just as they said they would.
He is the best man that I know, and this has only made him better. He's a good guy. He's a great dad. He's a great husband. He's a great man.
Faith is not tangible. You can't touch it. It's something that's a belief, something that's inside of you. And I needed hope and faith to keep pushing myself past every single day of what I was going through and what I felt. My true strength comes from God and certainly from my family right after that. They're the most important things in my life.
Incredible testimony, again, by Kevin Sorbo. Again, Hercules for many years, famous in other movies too, God Is Not Dead. Incredible story. Sylvester Stallone, here's a little interview with Pat Robertson years ago. Listen in.
Sylvester Stallone is the writer, director, and star of Rocky Balboa. He joins us now by satellite from New York. And, Lars, good to have you with us. Oh, hey, that Rocky, first Rocky, was a classic. You guys shot that thing for about $450,000. It was a wonderful piece of work.
Thank you. It was a miracle. It was shot in 28 days, and who knew it would end up here we are 30 years later.
And aren't you a little afraid you're going to damage the franchise or something?
Well, what happened, I'll tell you, Pat, is that the first one, the fifth one, or the last one in the installment, just I felt as though I left everybody down. It really wasn't about anything. And if you really go back to the first Rocky, people don't realize it's the first shot is this shot of Christ, and it comes down over the beams of the church. It says resurrection, then it goes to Rocky being pummeled. And what I was trying to say is this man has been chosen for a journey. He's at the lowest strata of society, and we're watching him eventually find Christian ideals, that he finds love. He starts to bring people together, all these what I would call society's outcasts, and they all come together for one unified family spirit, and that's how they triumph. Alone, they're not very, very strong. Together, they're invincible.
Well, how about this last one? I mean, Rocky
is...
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, the last one exactly is now... After he has all this family core values, his wife has died. So now the wool has been, I mean, the rug has been pulled out from under him. He's at his lowest depths. He goes, how can this be? And it's about pulling yourself up from the doldrums of society and of depression and clawing your way back up, finding the light, finding the spirit, moving on. He surrounds himself with old friends, even ex-fighters that read scripture, and then when he goes into the ring, he goes in with a sense of kind of like he's doing God's work. He really is on a mission.
Well, you know, the average viewer is going to say, you know, boxing, you're slamming somebody, you know. What happened with that Russian, you know? You were giving him everything you got so really good. How is that Christian?
Well, because... You know, there is one thing about speaking the word, but eventually you do need the crusader, someone who goes out there and has to defend it and face evil one-on-one, and that's pretty much what Rocky is. And the entire Rocky series has never been about staunch reality like Raging Bull or other boxing films. It's more of a metaphor about life. And then in the end of Rocky, this last one, Rocky Balboa, he basically has come full circle, and he just, at the very end, just disappears, and the entire journey is over.
Well, as far as the journey, I understand you personally have had an extraordinary spiritual reawakening. You want to tell us about it?
Well, it is. You know, there was a time in there where I was very strict Catholic, and then when I got to Hollywood, and all of a sudden you're given the key to the candy stores, and temptation abounds, and I started to believe my own publicity. And no question, I admit it. I just lost my way. But every time I came back to Rocky, I was given a new shot in the arm, a new reawakening. And then I would abuse it again. And finally, it led to about 12 years of I just was spiraling down. And finally, I said, I got to stop. I have to get back to basics. And I really decided to take things out of my own hands and put it in God's hands, because I always felt I was chosen to do something. I was never a writer. I was never an exemplary student. All of a sudden, one day, I started writing Rocky. I wrote it in 3 days, and it wins the Oscar. And I cannot assume that I did this all on my own. I really do not believe that for a second. And I feel the same thing with the last film, that there was a calling. I wanted to do it. And for some reason, I think, Pat, right now, it's a perfect message for what's going on, right? You know, the world's in upheaval. We don't have certain individuals we can look up to. And Rocky's a humble man who really believes in sacrificing himself for the good of others.
Well, I know people will want to watch it. It opens tomorrow in theaters all across America. Have you got good distribution for it?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, so far, I mean, when I announced this, I was the laughingstock of the country. But I said, you don't understand. It's really dealing with some deep core values. Now, things are just happening. We're on the cover. Today, I just found out we're on the cover of USA Today. It's like a miracle. It's like going back to the first one. I really believe life does repeat itself, and I have to give my complete thanks to all those that have supported me, and by the grace of God, I'm here again.
Okay, Rocky Balboa was the movie, obviously. Sylvester Stallone, obviously, did not release just recently. That's been a few years ago. But Denzel Washington gave an incredible testimony and teaching and inspirational message on stage one day. This happened about 3 or 4 years ago in New York City. He was on stage with about 20 different actors and actresses, and they're getting ready for a theater, a play, and he's just there, and somebody in the audience catches him on their cell phone, believe it or not, in a video. It's on YouTube. You can find it there. But listen to what he had to say to these actors and actresses. This guy is a man of faith, Denzel Washington.
True desire in the heart for anything good is God's proof to you, sent beforehand to indicate that it's yours already. So the desire you have, that itch that you have to be whatever it is you want to be, in front of the camera, on the stage, behind the stage, that itch, that desire for good is God's proof to you, sent already to indicate that it's yours. You already have it. Claim it. Understand this also. You have these dreams. And as Kenny said, dreams without goals remain dreams, just dreams, and ultimately fuel disappointment. Dreams without goals, yearly goals, life goals, daily goals, monthly goals, hourly goals, minute by minute goals. Dreams without goals are just dreams, and they ultimately fuel disappointment. Goals on the road to achievement cannot be achieved without discipline and consistency. You understand? Between goals and achievement are discipline and consistency. I pray that you all put your shoes way under the bed at night so that you got to get on your knees in the morning. And while you're down there, thank God for grace and mercy and understanding. We all fall short of the glory. We all got plenty. Just if you just start thinking of all the things you got to say thank you for, that's a day.
Come on.
That's easily a day. Right? So you have all been given these gifts. We have a little boy in our show. We're doing Raising in the Sun. And we have a circle. We pray every day. And his prayer, this boy is prayed up. He just prays that we go out and touch someone tonight. He says, God, somebody out there needs us tonight. And we all have that unique gift to go out and touch people, to affect people. Understand that gift. Protect that gift. Appreciate that gift. Utilize that gift. Don't abuse that gift. Treasure it. You have it. You already have it. And finally, I'll say this. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. I'll say it again. You'll never see a U-Haul behind a hearse. Now, I've been blessed to make hundreds of millions of dollars in my life. I can't take it with me. And neither can you. So it's not how much you have. It's what you do with what you have. And we all have different gifts. Some money, some love, some patience, some the ability to touch people. But we all have it. Use it. share it. That's what counts. Not what you're driving, not what you're flying in, not what kind of house you bought your mama. But buy your mama house. Understand that we are all in this fraternity together. I'm just one of y'all. I'm just another actor up here on stage.
Denzel Washington. I love that. Buy your mama a house anyway. Why not? You got enough money for it, right? So many football players that make it big, they do. They buy their mama a house. God bless them. And anyway, you can never take it with you. You got to leave it here on earth. It stays here. God never has a plan for you to take it to heaven. You don't need it up there, thank God. What you do with what you have, that is the key. I love those statements because that's what God is saying to us too. You know, I've given you gifts. I've given you talent. Don't sit around and wash them down the drain. Get out there and use them. Get off the sack. Get into the world and get into the ways that you can help other people and serve them. I was in a pity party once years ago when the economy went very stinky and God said to me, stop complaining and arguing and all that kind of stuff. Get out and serve somebody, even if it's free. It'll rejuvenate you. It'll build you up, you know, helping other people serve. And it's given on to you. Anyway, that's really blessed me in that time. Listen here to Cheryl Shant Ladd. She's gone through a number of issues and difficulties and problems in her life. But she's a great movie star, still is, and it was in the Perfect Wave movie not long ago that Brian Hitchcock produced there in New Zealand, South Africa. Anyway, she was in Charlie's Angels for many years. I understand from my producer that she's back on TV with that series again right now. Listen to what she has to say in her testimony.
Once upon a time, there were three little girls who went to the police academy.
And one of those little girls was Cheryl Ladd.
So your name is Chris Monroe and you want a job too, huh?
You got it.
What do you do?
I'm doing it.
Doing what?
Posing.
They may have been striking a glamorous pose on TV, but behind the scenes, Cheryl Ladd and fellow angel Jacqueline Smith were much more focused on motherhood and Cheryl's daughter, Jordan.
She was 2 years old when I started the show, and Jacqueline so wanted to be a mother, so whenever Jordan came to the set, which she did often, to visit me and play and hang out with me, Jacqueline just loved it, and, you know, we'd all go in the makeup room together.
But Cheryl's life became increasingly complicated by sudden fame and a faltering marriage.
I kept praying and kept trying to get a hold of Cheryl Jean Stoppelmore from here on South Dakota. I kept trying to hold on to that little girl.
As everything else in her world began to crumble, Cheryl clung to her childhood foundation of faith.
Was there a crisis point where you began to press into God in a deeper way?
Yes. Several, certainly when I got divorced and had this child. That was just such a difficult thing to go through. And I was really frozen in a really kind of whirlwind of self-doubt and fear and pain and stuff that I really couldn't talk to anybody about. I mean, I couldn't find any peace, and I just kept praying and praying. And then one day I just found this peaceful place. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I would get through it. I knew that Jordan would be okay. And I knew that that I wasn't alone, and that God was with me. And I was going to make it.
Cheryl reached out to God in the midst of her divorce.
And I was really spoken to in a powerful way.
Really?
A real welcome home, kind of. Because I had been, I think, with everything that was going on and in a relationship with someone where, you know, that was never sort of a settled issue with us.
The issue of faith.
Yes, and I knew I had to have it. I knew I couldn't live or breathe another day without God in my life in a powerful way.
The year Charlie's Angels ended, Cheryl married Brian Russell, who shared her desire for faith.
A 25-year marriage in Hollywood is a rare thing.
Yes, it is.
Has your faith had something to do with that?
Everything, I think, to do with it. I think it has everything to do with it. The fact that we started to really go back to church together, that we pray together, that we really are on journeys, both of us individually and as a couple, in our life that are closer to the Lord and guided by all of that. I think it is why we're together 25 years.
With a happy marriage, a grown daughter, and a beautiful home overlooking the California countryside, Cheryl Ladd seemed to live the ideal life. Then she faced the very real possibility of losing her oldest friend.
My mother went through just a horrendous, horrendous illness and medical problem. She broke her back, and she got a staph infection, and she was 3.5 months on flat on her back, and we nearly lost her a couple of times. And I remember going back to the hotel and dropping to my knees and crying and praying and asking for my mother, and praying for her and saying, God, I just know that if you take her, if you want her, that is your will. And thank you for all the wonderful life I've had with her and what a blessing she's been to me. I said, but then again, if you're not ready for her yet, give me the opportunity, please, to love her and care for her the way she's cared for me all my life.
Cheryl's prayer was answered, and it wasn't long before her mother's condition started to change.
Truly, within days, she started to get better and better, and this poor woman had to learn how to walk all over again. It's been a year now, a slow process, but she's okay. She's back living in her condo, taking care of herself, so.
Do you feel like the Lord came and touched her and healed her?
Yes, I do. I do.
These days, Cheryl finds God in what might seem like an unlikely place. The golf course.
Here we are.
Yay!
Let's hit a few.
Even as she started learning the game, Cheryl realized God was speaking to her about life.
I would lose my temper. I would just get so frustrated because I couldn't make myself hit the ball the way I knew and understood how to hit the ball, and in a really strange way. It's a little like life. You think you're in control, and you're trying to get that square peg in that round hole, and you get frustrated, and you realize that you're not in control of everything, that you need to just step back and let God and open up and move through things, and that's kind of how you have to swing the golf club, too.
Now an accomplished golfer, Cheryl is setting out to help other women improve their game, including yours truly.
Look at that.
Hey!
Brilliant.
You are such a good teacher.
Brilliant. That was gorgeous.
Thank you.
Cheryl confesses that for her, golf mirrors her spiritual life.
Truly, it's kind of like my relationship with God. Mm-hmm. Every time I start chasing my tail and I'm trying to control all these elements of my universe and it's not going right and it becomes really frustrating, I sit down and I pray and I go, okay, I'm not in control of any of this. I can just do the best I can. Please guide me. Please help me figure out how I can, you know, move through this in the way you would have me, you know? In the way you would have me.
Mm. That is saying, Cheryl Ladd, what a golf game. How about that? Incredible testimony again. God is in the business of you talking to him, him talking to you. You have to listen quietly. You have to ask for him to speak to you, give you wisdom, knowledge, discernment. That's what I do every day. And I try to keep my ears open, my heart open, be open to his leading and guiding. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to be our vessel, us to be his vessel. Abide in him and he abides in us. This is John Viener. Thanks for listening. Inspiration 316. See you again tomorrow. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Inspiration 316 show with John Viener. Join us each weekday at the same time. If you want to share your testimony, listen to past shows, or get a free book, visit us at our website, www.inspiration316.com.